Well, let's take your stories and your questions for Squire and Louise Rushnell, and we'll get right into things when we come back. And welcome back with Louise and Squire Rushnell. Louise, give us the story of the medical detective that's in Chapter 17. Can you?
Oh, I think you're talking about a dog named Sierra.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, yes. Well, there's a mom whose son was heading off to Afghanistan for a year, and he says to his mother, "Listen, could you please take Sasha, the dog?" And his mother, you know, said, "I got this tiny little apartment. What am I going to do with this big husky?" But she didn't want to hurt her son, so she's okay. I'll take the dog with me. So one day she's sitting down, and the dog starts pushing against her stomach with his nose, and I mean really pushing and annoying her, and then it hurt. And she yelled at the dog, and she said, "Get out of the room." And so the dog literally gets hurt. A husky, I didn't realize this, but huskies, if people have huskies, it will tell you this, they can actually get moist under their eyes. It's like they're crying. So she sees this dog in a corner, and she feels so bad. And so she realizes, well, maybe the dog had a reason to do that. And when she felt that pain, so something instinctively told her, call your doctor. So she calls the doctor, and she tells him, this is a strange story, but this is what happened. He said, well, come on, and we'll do some tests. The doctor did some tests and found out that she had ovarian cancer.
Oh, geez.
And he said, your dog's instincts were right. What your dog found, we never would have found on a machine. It's the dog that did it. And so then they got it very, very early, and she's fine. But it was the dog. Is that amazing?
They're training dogs now to sniff out cancer, aren't they?
Yeah. Cancer and COVID, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Yes, they have dogs now that sniff out. It's amazing what dogs can do. I mean, I just think every doctor should have a dog in his office. Doctor Dog, you know, and just have the dog come in and sniff around and see what's going on.
Squire, is there a second Dog Wings book coming out?
Well, we're already collecting those stories. Yeah, actually for Dog Wings 2. I think the publisher is so excited about this book. It just launched yesterday, so you're the first national show we've done, George. So we feel honored to be here this morning, at this time.
Well, we had a great time with you 2 years ago around Christmas time. Remember?
Oh, we did. Yes, indeed. I love that. I just really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Oh, these are just dramatic stories. They really are. But the one about the dog that was rescued, and then turned around and rescued them, that's just amazing.
Yeah. It is so extraordinary that these things happen. And you know, I think it is, you think about the divine alignment. This book was supposed to come out, Dog Winks, was supposed to come out last October. And then because everything was delayed with the pandemic, and the publisher wanted to get a little closer to Netflix's release of the movie, which is now going to be the first part of next year. But they delayed the launch of the book to right now. And now you think about that. You say, well, this is a much better time than last October. Last October, it was so difficult to get airtime because, you know, it was just before the election. You can't get booked on talk shows. I couldn't do Fox and Friends or the NBC shows and so forth that we normally do. And now it is the perfect time. And everybody needs the hope that this book and these stories bring them right now. Real stories about real people. We talk about this, that my neighbor's politics may offend me, but we both love each other's dogs. And dogs are the common bridge, the common denominator. If you're walking down the street and you've got a dog on a leash and somebody else has got a dog on a leash, your dogs are meeting, they're dancing around, you're talking about your dogs. You're not. It doesn't matter whether they voted blue or red. It just doesn't matter. And I believe that They are part of, as Louise had said before, part of God's ambassadors on earth. Dog and God work together as a team. That's just great.
Well, let's go to the phones now. Earl is truck driving in Ohio to get us started. Earl, take it away. Earl? No Earl. Going once. Going twice. No, he's not there. Well, let's try Joe in Monterey, California. Go ahead, Joseph.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Great show. Squire, this is not the question I want to ask. I wanted to ask something about grace, the state of grace. But are you familiar with IQ, EQ, and SQ? IQ is intelligent quotient, emotional quotient, and spiritual quotient. You spell your name SQ, the capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm not familiar, no.
Well, you use capital letters for SQ, which is spiritual quotient, means that your intelligence. Yes, I know. I see.
Well,
things.
That could be a God wink, Joe. I don't know.
I know. I have to. You know, I makes me laugh. Yes, it happens all the time. It's very subtle. It's like a communication between the universe and the individual. That is, you know, part of the universe. We all are.
Well, let me just add that I spell my name with a capital Q for people in the audience who don't and can't see that at this moment. Squire is the first name, SQ, both capitalized, and the rest of the name is lowercase. Now, people always say, "Well, how come you have a capital Q?" And when I was at ABC for 20 years, I was an executive, and I would sign my notes capital S, capital Q. You know, you'd get a letter, a proposal from somebody, and then you write right across the top of it. It was before we had computers and internet. And so I would just sign a note and send it off, SQ. Well, my daughter, who had just gotten out of college, had her little marketing degree from Ithaca College, and my secretary was taking a vacation week, and so I asked my daughter if she wanted to be my secretary for a week. Well, there we were on 6th Avenue in New York in the ABC building, and of course, children, they come and work in your offices. They don't knock on the door. They just kind of march in, and so she was out there typing letters, and she, you know, was about to type S-Q-U-I-R-E with a little Q, and she came in and she said, "Hey, Dad, this little Q looks funny. Why don't we give you a big Q, and then you'll have a logo?" I said, "Whatever you want, honey." And that is how I got the capital Q.
That's a great story. Tom's with us, first-time caller in California. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, hope you are too.
I'd have been listening to your program forever.
Well, thank you, sir.
My story is, hello to your guest.
Hello, Tom.
My wife has rescued a dog. She got hit by a car. She was on her way to work, and she rescued this dog. And she tells me, "I got a little dog." And I said, "Well, no more dogs. We're not having any more animals." "Oh, well, we just take him and see." I said, "No, I was refusing this dog."
Yeah.
And she brought him home. She goes, "Well, we're going to just foster him and we're going to adopt him out." And then I fell in love with him. And I said, "Okay, we're going to keep him." So the foster people got mad at us. But I took him to work with me one day in a drive truck. I was on a late shift. Just got off. I think it was Christmas Eve. You had a guest on talking about the Korean War and Michael the Archangel.
Yep, yep.
And I'm driving home. And I'm kind of in a zone, you know me, because I just got off work. I'm tired on I-5. And I'm out in the fast lane. I'm doing about 80 miles an hour. And the guy says, "I know everybody in my platoon, but this guy didn't." And he said, "Look, there's trouble ahead." And I'm still just in my little zone driving. And said, "Look, there's trouble ahead." And my dog starts barking at me. I took him to work with me. I look straight ahead. There's some headlights coming at me about 80, 90 miles an hour. So I swerve just in the nick of time. And they're going the wrong way on the I-5.
Oh, wow.
And your show saved my life.
Whoa.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so if I wouldn't listen to the show and I didn't have my dog with me, I'd be toast.
You sure would. Wow. What a great story, Tom. Synchronicity at its best. Thanks for that story, Tom.
Great.
I really appreciate that.
Great.
It's magical, Squire and Louise, how this happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It sure is. And you know, it's like a treasure hunt. Once we open up the possibility that we have treasure out there in these God winks that have happened to us, if we kind of dig into that, do kind of a self-archaeological dig, and dig back into those moments in the past when we had these experiences like Tom had, when we had crossroads in our life where we moved somewhere or we lost somebody or we got another job. If you go back and you re-examine those moments, you will almost always find that there was a God wink there that slipped your mind or you dismissed because it was too unbelievable to believe, so you didn't believe it. And you can dig out these treasures of your past, and it will build a map of God winks that has been leading you through your life all along. And it will help you to then be conscious about looking for the God winks as they happen. Signs of hope right next to you every day.
You know, when a dog dies or when a cat dies in a family, it is almost like losing a child too, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It really is.
No question.
And people have asked us, do dogs go to heaven? You know, we question that too. And as I was reading through the Bible, you know, I was a little distressed about that. I says, yeah, do we see our animals in heaven? But, you know, all through the Bible, there's scriptures that talk about how the lion will be next to the lamb and the goat next to the calf. And, you know, so if God's got animals up there, so of course, you know, he gives us the desires of our heart. And so, of course, our dogs are going to be there. I always said to Squire, I believe Spotty, my dog, is going to be waiting at heaven's gate just with that tail wagging, ready to lick my face like she always did.
I love it. So, Squire.
That movie, that movie, Heaven is for Real, about the little boy who went to heaven.
Yep.
And that, a little four-year-old kid going to heaven and coming back and talking about it, gave it new levels of credibility. And this little kid said he saw pets in heaven, and that Jesus had a pony. And so me confidence in that we will see our pets and our dogs in heaven.
Yes.
Squire, tell us the Booga story in chapter 18.
All right. Booga was a champion dog, a lab. And it belonged to a guy named Mac, and they would go out and they would do championship shows. But the story centers on a fellow named Jerry Ponson. This was in New Orleans. Jerry Ponson lived one of those loose lives, and he was always, he just was always running away from God. He had a sister who one time talked to him about God, and he kicked her out of the house and called her a fruitcake. And so... Jerry was just living a wine, women, and song kind of life. But he had a good heart, and he always took Mac and his dog Booga out duck hunting in the early December days, and they would get into a little boat about 10 foot long and motor out across the bay, and there was a favorite duck hunting spot there. They'd start like 4 in the morning and long before light, and then they'd be on the other side just about when light would break. And this particular day, they got not even halfway across, but they got just through the area in the harbor where Jerry knew it was still 8 feet deep, but there was a big drop-off because there was a channel where the boats would come through. And so just at that moment, a huge nor'wester came up that channel, tore up the channel, lifted up their little boat, and smashed it down and sank. Floating on top of the water was a wooden pole that he had had in the boat. It was a 10-foot pole, and he jammed it down, and he had just a little bit of that pole after he jammed it in the mud to be able to hold on to it, and then he could hold on to Mac, who was older and suffering from ailments of old age, and then he would hold Booga for a while, and Booga would swim around and then come back, and he'd hold Booga, and the waves were coming up, and they were smashing over them, and it was cold. It was early December, and he couldn't see a thing. It was dark, and it was mist, and he said, "We're going to die out here. We are going to die out here." 2 hours went by. Not a single boat came up that channel, and he kept saying, "Mac, hold on. Hold on, Mac. The boat will come." Well, he didn't really believe that because he didn't believe in anything. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in anything. But then when he realized that they had no option, none whatsoever, zero option, he couldn't swim to shore. It was an hour and a half. It was a mile and a half back. He couldn't leave, the Mac here. He finally said to Booga, "Go, Booga. I can't hold on to both of you and Mac, so Booga, go. Go to shore." He knew that dog wouldn't get to shore. That was too long a distance. He didn't want to do it, but he had to try to save Mac. Finally, when he realized that there was no option at all, he thought, "What if there is somebody up there?" He looked up, and he said, "God, if you're there, please, God, give me a second chance. I need a second chance." And at that moment, he saw a cross in an opening in the mist.
Wow. He said,
"What? No, it wasn't a cross. It was the mast of a boat. A boat was finally coming up." He took off his shirt and tied it to that pole, and he waved in the air. And miraculously, somebody was looking out into the mist, and they saw something that wasn't supposed to be there, and they put out a little boat, and they came over to see what it was. Mac was put into the boat. He was exhausted. He was suffering from frostbite, and Jerry got into the little boat. He was astonished that he had cried out in prayer, and it was answered.
And it was answered.
That had never happened to him before. He gets to the big boat, and he realizes he has a major God wink. It says the name of the boat is Second Chance. And they get to shore, and there's Booga waiting for them.
That's amazing. That is a great story. Hey, we're going to take one quick break and come back with final stories and final questions for both of you. The website, of course, is godwinks.com. Linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The latest book that they have out in their God Wink series is called Dog Winks, True God Wink Stories of Dogs. Dog Winks is the name of the book, and it's available all over the place right now. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And, oh, yeah, don't forget to subscribe to our free YouTube channel by just typing Coast to Coast AM Official in the YouTube search bar at youtube.com. On our next Coast to Coast program, Dr. Michael Sala joins us to talk about the secret space force. And then later on, Alan Steinfeld joins us about his new book called Making Contact. Guess what that's all about. So that's our next Coast to Coast program. And welcome back to our final segment with Squire and Louise Rushnell as we talk about their work, God Wink and Dog Winks. And, of course, these incredible stories that are coming from you, truly remarkable indeed. Squire, when you look at these stories that just keep coming in constantly, what does this tell you about the breed of the dog, or is it something else?
Well, no, because it's every kind of dog that we can possibly imagine. Very often they are rescue dogs, I'll say that. And mixes. I haven't done a count of the 20 stories that are in this book, Dog Winks, as to what's what, but I don't think we'd find that more than two or three are pedigree dogs, but most of them are rescue dogs. By the way, when we started casting for the movie, the Netflix movie, mm-hmm. based upon the story in the book, Rescued by Ruby, we said, If you could like that. And as it turns out, when you do a movie with an animal, you have to have multiple animals. And so they have cast three dogs that will play Ruby, Australian Shepherd, Border Collie. But what they do is they do makeovers of the dog, paint them, fix their hair and everything, so they all look like the original dog. And but they were able to find three rescue dogs to play Ruby, who was the champion search and rescue dog of the year.
Oh, that's fantastic. And are these animals all well-trained where in the movie they know exactly what to do?
They, in each case, they had never been trained before. But when we saw after just a few days what these animal trainers had been able to do with the main dog that will be playing Ruby, a dog named Bear, we were just astounded that this dog had so much presence and looked so much like Ruby and had such personality. We're going to be very excited about this movie, and Netflix is very excited about it.
Is the real Ruby still alive?
Yes. Yeah, still on the force, still on the police force.
Oh, that's exciting.
In Providence. She's about 10 years old at this point.
And this, you say, is coming out in October?
No. We're shooting it right now. It's just starting in a couple of weeks in pre-production right now. And it'll be coming out next February by Netflix present scheduling.
Okay.
They could say, wow, we want to have this out for Christmas, or, you know, they could always change that. But right now it's on the schedule for February 22nd. 2-2-2-2-2.
Let's go back to the phones. Brendan's with us in Austin, Texas. Hi, Brendan.
Hello. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Squire, Louise, Tom, George, everybody, all the listeners.
Thank you, Brad.
The reason I was calling was because I have a dog and her name is Raja. I've called in a couple times about this apartment that I had lived in that was demonic infested. It was really, really bad.
Haunted.
Hollywood,
yeah.
Level. And so this dog, Raja, she's a Chihuahua and she's a rescue. And she would go and find the hot spots and would lie down there. And these hot spots were where people were being possessed and punched and just attacked in general. And she would lie down there and obsess over these locations in the house and get into a defensive posture and body language. And she would block the energy with her bodies. And I would do EVPs, the digital recorder recordings, and there would be voices on there from these things that would be saying that they would want to kill my dogs and stuff like that. And for me, I think that those dogs would go nose to nose with these hyper-intelligent negative entities, and they wouldn't back down, and they would protect us. And I would have ghost dogs that would come to me a lot, too. You would see the dog or hear it, and it would come up and just come next to me. I'm a big dog lover, so it's not a big surprise that the dogs would come up to me. But as to the breeds you guys were mentioning just a second ago, with her being a Chihuahua, the Toltec, which was a previous civilization to the Mayan civilization, they believed that Chihuahuas were healing dogs and that they could see into the spirit realm and that they helped people pass from one stage to the next. And as well on the EVPs, there was a lot of people asking for help. Like, I would turn it on and have 20 people asking me for help. And I think that our dogs were helping them transition away from this negative space.
That's great. Thanks for sharing those with us.
It's a great story. You know, anybody who would like to, and I'd love to hear Brendan's story, if you wanted to write to me a little more detail, squire@godwinks.com, or just go to godwinks.com and it'll say tell your story, and there's a little spot there where you can tell your story. We'd love to hear these dog wink stories.
They're amazing,
well,
aren't
you know,
they?
You're talking about the sense. You know, dogs have such a keen sense, you know, and even the gentleman was talking about being in the truck and all of a sudden his dog was barking. You know, they can sense things before we can. And even their, you know, their sense of smell, I think, is like 10,000 times better than, you know, a human sense. So, you know, we probably haven't even tapped into all the wonderful things that God has created in dogs, you know?
Let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Long night for you, Barry.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, George. I'm telling you, this tonight's show is absolute dynamite, and I've got a great story to tell you about my black Labrador, Rocky.
All right, let's hear it.
First of all, I got to tell you what a wonderful time we had on the air at WBT in Charlotte this morning.
I'm still on fumes going, but I did have a great time. And the host there, Bo Thompson's just a gracious guy, isn't he?
Oh, I'm telling you, Bo is super. And John Moore got Tommy Screener's job. And anyway, they're just super to work with. I love them to death. If I was younger, I'd go on the air with them. Anyway, listen to this story. Rocky, remember the dog that died at my feet while I was duck hunting?
Yep, I remember that.
Okay, that about 3 years before that, talking about synchronicity and intuitiveness, my first wife and I were living in a garage apartment, Wilmington, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And I was an avid duck hunter, biology major, and Rocky and I had been hunting and came home and cleaning up, and I started the charcoal grill in this garage apartment that my wife and I were living in. And I went back upstairs, and the wind was blowing, so I knew the charcoal briquettes would get going good. And Rocky was fooling around in a chain link fence backyard. And all of a sudden, he came running up the steps, George, and barking and spinning around in circles, and I knew something was wrong, and I ran downstairs, and that charcoal grill had blown over, and the charcoal briquettes were getting ready to set my house on fire.
Oh.
And I had a fire extinguisher right there in the garage, like you're supposed to, and immediately put it out, and I grabbed Rocky, and you talk about a hug, buddy. I gave him a hug for him.
I bet. I hope you gave him a little dinner, too, huh?
You got that right, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Go, and thanks great. A lot for hearing me.
Thank you.
That's great.
They keep it. What is the funniest dog story you two have ever heard?
Oh, my gosh. Miss Louise, can you
remember? Is there a funny one that we've had? Well, you know, there was one that, what is the one, Squire, about the little boy where they got that dog and then his father was, he was a country western star.
Oh, well, yeah, no, it's Scooter. It's in the book. It's
Scooter,
yeah. Boy. Yeah, he got the, he was like a 7-9-year-old boy, and his dad was a bit actor in movies, a lot of movies, and he always played the tough guy, you know, but his father was always very sweet, and he had this habit of just hugging people. Sometimes he would kiss people on the cheek. Now, when the boy, his name is John, got his dog a Scooter, and his birthday was coming up, and so other boys were over and on the front porch, and they were all having ice cream, and Scooter was laying there waiting, hoping somebody would drop their ice cream, and the boys got into a conversation about my dad can beat up your dad, and so on and so forth, and the door opens, or actually a guy comes up the sidewalk, this kind of big burly guy, and he goes and he knocks on the door, and all the boys kind of turn and look at this guy, and they stop talking, and Scooter's dad opens the door and says, "Hey, how you doing, Marty?" And he gives him a big hug and a kiss. Well, and then they disappear into the house. Well, one of the boys says, "Your dad kisses other men?" Well, at that moment, a fist popped into the air and another fist, and these boys were rolling off the porch and on the ground, and Scooter was just kind of standing by, not trying to get involved. And out comes the top sergeant mom, and she lines everybody up and says, "All right, boys, you go home. And John, you get in the backyard and wait for your father." And so John is sitting in the backyard waiting for his dad. Scooter is kind of a safe distance away. Doesn't want to get involved in all of this. And out comes his dad. And his dad said, "What were you fighting about?" He said, "Well, they boys made fun because you kissed that man. You embarrassed me. And he said, tell you what, why don't you call your dog over here? Scooter, come over here. And Scooter says, who, me? you want me to come over there?
I got to get involved in this?
Scooter comes over a little slowly. And so then the father says, Scooter, or John, tell Scooter you love him. Oh, actually, no, what he did was he said, tell Scooter you love him and to come over. And so Scooter's sitting about 10 or 15 feet away. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens. He said, I love you, Scooter. Nothing happened. He said, tell him again. And he told him again. Scooter still didn't come. So then the father says, now get down on one knee and say, Scooter, I love you. And see what happens. And that's what he did. And the dog came bounding over and got into his arms. He said, see, love is not something you talk about. It's something you do. Oh. And Scooter just taught you that lesson. Don't you ever forget it.
What a great
story.
So
that had a sentimental ending, but it had a lot of funny scenes with the dog and the kids and all of that going on.
Let's go to first-time caller Dolly in Oregon, truck driving. Hi, Dolly.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good to have you with us.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I grew up on Art Bell, and now I enjoy you, of course, and I grew up watching Schoolhouse Rock. So
you got it all.
Hey, I was just going to tell a little story that I grew up on a ranch and whatever, and then when I had kids, I was working on a ranch, and I had working cattle dogs, and had this Australian Shepherd that we had purchased from a neighbor of ours. My son turned one, and we thought, oh, we'll get him a puppy, you know. Well, of course, the puppy ends up being mine and goes to work with me quite often. And this is 20 years ago. My son's almost 21 now. But anyways, I mean, this dog, you know, good dog, went to jump and pick up every day, always go to work with me. The kids would try to hold on to it, thinking it was funny, and I could whistle and call him, and he would get out of their arms and, you know, he was my dog. Well, this one morning, I'm looking all over for him, can't find him, and I finally found him. He was just laying down. He didn't want to get in the pickup that day, and I thought, that's weird. And, you know, he wouldn't get in. He wasn't excited to go or anything like that. And when I got home later that evening, I'd found out that sometime mid-afternoon, he had gotten in between my son and about a 2-foot rattlesnake. And
wow.
So, you know, I kind of looked at that as, wow, I'm kind of glad I didn't make him go with me. And he didn't want to go because my son could have got bitten. And
oh, my God, it would have been horrible. What a great story. That's amazing how much magic is involved in some of this, isn't it, Squire?
Yeah.
And Louise?
It is wonderful. Yeah. Yes. It is just so, you just can't read these stories or hear these stories without saying, boy, do I love dogs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, take about 30 seconds and tell folks where they can get your book and your websites and email you stories. Go ahead.
Well, you can go to godwinks.com, and that you can see all of the books that we've done. You can window shop there. If you can get a better price going to Apple or to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, go ahead. Any book that you buy at godwinks.com, it is signed by us, so that's an extra perk. And we always love to hear your stories. You can leave us stories right there. We're looking for stories at every time. Godwinks.com.
Thank you both. Let's keep in touch, and good luck with the film. The Netflix Rescued by Ruby, that's going to be a great movie indeed. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.